You ladies, for the medley of hymns, we love you, Lord, and we lift our hearts. May we become nearer and nearer to thee. Let's pray. Father God, the holidays are over. We can exhale, we can release the tensions, all that we've concentrated and compacted into just a few weeks. It's over. But may we realize that while we may leave Christmas, you do not leave us. Be with us as we open your word. May we gain new insights into your love for us this morning, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. I'm going to have the screen on. Do you have room for one more gift? Or are you completely partied out? You know, whatever your tradition, whether it be Christmas, whether it be Hanukkah, whether it be Kwanzaa, whether it be Festivus, for those of you who don't know what Festivus is, Seinfeld brought up this wonderful festival for the rest of us. Festivus. But one thing is surrounded with all of these holidays. Do you know what it is? Are you awake? Gifts. Gifts. Everything is surrounded around gifts. Now, is there anyone here this morning that did not receive one gift during the holidays? We all got something, whether it's another day of life, whether it was a smile that we gave or we received. We all give gifts. We all receive gifts. Gifts. When I came this morning, I wasn't sure how the Yucaipa Church celebrated their holidays. I was watching television last night. Randy Roberts was talking about last week coming, and he's not sure of whether their decorations would be up. You see, he was part of a family tradition that at 8 o'clock on December 26, the decorations went down. Christmas was over. But I see you still have your decorations left. So again, I ask you, do you have room for one more gift? I need a couple of volunteers to come and help me this morning. Avonlea, did I pronounce that right? Avonlea and Rylan. That one I got right. I need some help. I need some help up here. What do you see up here, guys?
Presents!
Presents! That's right. All right. Well, I want you to pick a present. And you get to unwrap it. Which one do you want? How about this one down here? Is this one calling your name?
Yeah?
Oh, I figured that. All right. You can come right here. Okay. Go ahead. Go on the side. Now, I want you to all notice. Oh, do you really open them that way?
Yeah.
You don't rip them to shreds and get in there?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. You can rip it. Okay, Rylan, I want you to find one. Let's see here. How about this? Oh, this is pretty. Is that pretty? All right, why don't you open that? Wait till your sister opens up a little bit. While you guys, go ahead, keep opening. I'm gonna open one, okay? All right? I got just a white box. Oh, and in mine, you got to go faster. Yeah, you got to go faster. I've got something in my white box. Just a brown, simple box. It's hard. Well, go ahead and rip the paper. It's okay. She's so polite. Was she that way at Christmas morning? Yeah. She was? Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, good training. All right. Keep going. Rylan, why don't you help her? Go ahead and get into that box. Ooh, strong paper. I may have to help you here. Here, let's go this way. Oh, look at that. There we go.
There we go.
Okay. Now, what's in? Oh, it's a great big box, but you know something?
Yeah.
It's empty. It's empty! Oh, man! That's terrible! Oh, Rylan, why don't you open up yours? Is yours better? You need to open up towards them. I think the lid just comes off. Okay, show the people. What's in there? It's empty! Oh, man, I thought... You think so?
Yeah.
How about this one?
Okay.
But they're so pretty. I don't understand. Oh, that's terrible. Okay, well, look at, I've got something right here in mine. Oh, this is the most valuable gift that's up there.
Maybe this one.
Oh, maybe. Well, let me tell you, this one right here, see, we went and just looked at, whoops, sorry about that. Let me go back to the screen here for just a bit. I just opened a plain, ordinary box, but in this box is something special, something very special. Little tiny notes. Oh, my goodness. Oh, here's some more. Oh, you put the stars in my eyes. I love you. Oh, my goodness. Sleep well and have sweet dreams. I love you. Good night, dear. Oh. Others who broke my heart, they were like northern stars pointing you straight to me. Oh, and here's one for my Robert. Oh, my goodness, these are so special. How come you guys aren't enjoying these? Well, I don't understand. Oh, maybe it's because these little love notes were meant just for me. They're special to me. Now, I've got one more that I want you guys to open, all right? You both can open on that. This is how they used to wrap presents. Recognize that string, everybody?
Yeah.
The regular paper?
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead. Get in there. Now, rip it. That one will rip easier, I'm sure.
Oh, yes, it will.
It will? Are you sure? Okay, what's in there?
A Bible.
A Bible. Oh, okay. The Bible. Is a Bible a gift? Yeah, all right. Well, since you guys were so good to help me, I want you to have this, but you have to wait till you get home, and you have to share that, okay? All right, thank you two for helping me so much with that illustration. Little love notes. The Bible. When was the last time you thought of the Bible as a gift? A gift. And yet, I want to share a couple of things with us this morning. This is from our friends, the Gideons, whose sole mission is to distribute Bibles. They are the keepers of the records. They accumulate these statistics. There have been 6 million, excuse me, was that 6 million? No, 6 billion Bibles printed. 6 billion. Amazingly, there are 7 billion people on the planet. We are almost one Bible for one person. There are 6,900 languages spoken today. Number of translations into new language currently in process, 1,300. There are 1,185 languages with a translation of the New Testament. 450 have our Protestant canon, our sacred texts. But I have a question for you. The average American household, how many Bibles do they own? What do you think? Let me hear some numbers. 5, 3, 2. I'm glad Julie's not answering and shouting out how many we have. We have bookcases of them. I can't like to cleep. Look at this. 4.4 Bibles. That's the average American household has that many Bibles in that. In their household. The Bible. The Bible is what? God's Word. God's Word to us. But what if the Bible that we hold in our hands today and millions have held in their hands for centuries, what if it was a fraud? What if the book that changed the face of the world and shaped Western civilization was the result of a cover-up? What if the book that has sold not millions but billions was a swindle job? What if the book that men and women have staked their lives on and even lost their lives for was nothing more than a con job? If it were, it would be the biggest con job in history. It would be bigger than Orson Welles, his radio broadcast, The War of the Worlds. It would be bigger than Watergate. It would be bigger than Enron scandal. It would be bigger than the savings and loans, the banks. All of those would pale if it was the Bible was a con job. Roman emperors have tried to destroy it. Communism has ridiculed it. They banned it. They burned it. Humanists and atheists have scorned it. Why? I want to share with you the words of Voltaire, who lived in the 17th century. He was the French Enlightenment writer, philosopher who considered one of the most influential figures of his time. He answers the question. He says, if we could destroy the Christian religion, we first have to destroy all of man's belief in the Bible. The Bible. Seventh-day Adventists, our community of faith, we would like to see themselves, or I'm going to say ourselves, among those who are called people of the book. It's simple. We love the Bible. Every week, more than 20 million people around the world meet in Adventist churches for Bible study. In our church, we refer to it as Sabbath school. But Seventh-day Adventists are people of the book. They study the Word of God for guidance in their lives. And Seventh-day Adventists accept the Bible as their only source of beliefs. Now, do any of these words sound familiar? They should. They're on our official website. These are the words that we use to describe ourselves, our community of faith, to outsiders. We consider our movement to be the result of the Protestant conviction of sola scriptura. The Bible is the only standard of faith and practice for Christians. Seventh-day Adventists accept the Bible as their only creed and hold certain fundamental beliefs for the teaching of these holy scriptures. Pastor Elijah asked me to open the new year by talking about what we believe. You know, as Seventh-day Adventists, we have gone through, we've quantified on paper a system of practices, of principles that help us to line up with this map, with this Word of God. Fundamental belief number one, the Holy Scriptures, the Old and New Testaments, are the written Word of God, given by divine inspiration through holy men of God who spoke and wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. In this Word, God has committed to man the knowledge necessary for salvation. The Holy Scriptures are the infallible revelation of His will. They are the standard of character, the test of experience, the authoritative revealer of doctrines, and the trustworthy record of God's acts in history. And then we will list six or seven proof texts to help add exclamation points to that fundamental belief of the Bible. But I want to challenge us this morning in the moments that we have. What if all the neglected Bibles were dusted simultaneously? We would have a record dust storm and the sun would go into an eclipse for a whole week. I think David Nygren is on to something. Read me. Charles Spurgeon said that a Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. The Bible. We call it what? The Word of God, the sword of truth. For the Word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword. And many times, we use the Bible as a double-edged sword. We use the Bible for prophecy, for history, for teaching, for doctrine, for science. And all that is good. But I want us to remember that the Pharisees kept the law. They knew the information in God's Word. And yet they missed the very focal point of what the Scriptures pointed forward to. They had information, but they did not have transformation. And so many times we can use the Bible, the Word of God, the sword of truth, as this, wielding it for not its intended purpose. Julie and I had the opportunity of going to the Rose Parade and seeing it in person. And we saw something beside the floats, besides the horses, besides the band. At the beginning of the parade, there must have been 20 individuals walking down the parade route with megaphones, giant signs, quoting the Bible, telling everyone that judgment is coming. Which was good. But there's a church in the middle of our country, a Baptist church, that quotes the Bible too, to make their points. And as we were observing the people going up and down the aisle or the roadway, I want you to notice nobody was listening to them. Nobody was looking at them. Why? Why? Because it wasn't something for them. It was information, but they saw it as judgment. Where is a God of love? You know, I remember a song when I was a kid from Mary Poppins. A spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. How many of you remember castor oil? How come you don't give it to your children, your grandchildren? Why? Why? Did it work? Science is pretty questionable on it, whether or not the effects, at least what we intended, what we hoped. Many times, things that we portray or advertise have different effects than what we want. The Word of God, we must show caution when we use it. Let me see a couple of illustrations. Caution. Do not stare into the beam laser while it's in use. Laser beams are wonderful things, right? But should you stare in it? At the same time, there are signs and in our speech and in our lives where we say one thing and practice another. I don't need to say anything more. You get the point. There goes a Christian down the road. He's carrying a sign. He's quoting scripture. But I don't see God's love. I see information, but I do not see transformation. When we go back to that fundamental belief, I see one thing that's missing from this fundamental belief. Now, I know this is number one, and we are in a safe environment where I want you to think through it. I'm not denouncing our fundamental belief, but I'm wondering if, given the chance, we had the opportunity to write it in a different way. What if we said something like this? From cover to cover, the Bible relentlessly points us to who? Jesus. That was missing from that fundamental belief number one. I didn't see Jesus. I missed him. I missed him. I can be just like the church of Jesus' day and miss Jesus. I love this quote. Whenever the people of God are growing in grace, they will be constantly obtaining a clearer understanding of His Word. They will discern new light and beauty in its sacred truths. This has been true in the history of the church in all ages, and thus it will continue to the end. What a beautiful statement. There was a time in our community of faith over 120 years ago where we had preached the law until it had become dry as the hills of Gilboa. We missed something. We missed the purpose, the focus. Well, when we get to heaven, we'll have it all worked out. Because it's knowledge that gets us to heaven, right? Great controversy. The years of eternity as they roll will bring richer and still more glorious revelations of God and Christ. As knowledge is progressive, so will love, reverence, and happiness increase. The more men learn of God, the greater will be their admiration of His character. I have the privilege of going to school with Pastor Christine. She and I were classmates. One of our professors, Dr. Gillespie, is the statistician and the source behind value genesis. Value genesis is kind of like, are we really practicing what we're preaching to our young people? You see, young people have a way of cutting through all the periphery, all the fluff, all the extra paper, and getting right to the core. Value Genesis 1 and 2 and number 3, which is coming out this fall. We've had a generation now, almost, of young people. They knew the rules, but they didn't know Jesus. They look at their parents and their church members. They carry the Bible to church, but during the rest of the week, the dust and the read me is what they saw. What if this year we read God's word differently? What if this year we focused on not our position, our response? What if for 1 year we focused on how much God loves us? What if after a year of soaking up this and then sharing it, do you think the world would be changed? I think so. I want to give you 10 texts. They're up on the screen. If you won't have time to go along with me. But I just found 10 texts that just talks about how much God loves you and me. They're God's love notes to us. That's how much God loves us. John 3:16, this is how much God loved the world. He gave His Son, His one and only Son. And this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in Him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. Amen! 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 They're love notes. And it doesn't matter in the love note whether it's written in a certain kind of language or not. It's not the language that makes the love note important. What makes this important to me? Not the paper. It's who wrote it. And they wrote it to me, for me. It's special. It's a love note just for me. Romans 8, 37-39, despite all these things, overwhelming victories ours through Christ, who what? Loved us. Romans 8:37. I am convinced that what? I don't think you're convinced. Convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from what? God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed where? In Christ Jesus our Lord. Ephesians 2, 4 and 5. But God is so rich in mercy, He what? He loves us a little. So much that even when we were spiritually dead and doomed in our sins, He gave us back our lives again when He raised Christ from the dead. Only by His undeserved favor have we been saved. Romans 5:8, but God shows His love for us because while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. I've had some of my friends who have told me, well, yes, but that's New Testament. Show me something in the Old Testament that God loves us. Zephaniah 3:17. The Eternal, your God, is standing right among you. He is the champion who will rescue you. He will joyfully, what? I thought God was stoic, far away, not interested in us. He will joyfully celebrate over you. He will rest in His love for you. He will joyfully sing because of you like a new husband. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, so humble yourself under God's strong hand, and in His own good time, He will lift you up. You can throw the whole weight of your anxieties upon Him. Why? For you are His personal concern. That's a love note. That's something special. Psalms 86, 15, but you, O God, are both tender and kind, not easily angered. I love this. Immense in love. The King James has it full of love. I don't know. There's just something in this love note that just makes me immense. I get a bigger picture of it, a fuller picture. And that you will never, never, never quit. 1 John 3, 1, think of how much the Father loves us. He loves us so much that He lets us be called His children, and we truly are. Lamentations 3, 22. The Lord's love, what? Never ends. His mercies never stop. 1 Corinthians 13, 7 and 8. God's love knows no limit to its endurance, no end to its trust, no fading of its hope. It can outlast anything. In fact, it is the only thing that stands when all else has fallen. Jeremiah 31, 3, the Lord appears to us from a distance. I have loved you with a love that what? Lasts forever. And so with unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. Psalms 136 was a highlight in the Israel's calendar. When worship was involved with this song, it was sung an octave higher. It was shouted, so much so that those on the surrounding hillsides could hear the people. This morning, I want you to read that loudly. It crescendoed. It got louder and louder and louder. There's a response for you, just like with Israel. I'll read the white print if you will read the gold. Give thanks to the Lord because He is good. God's faithful love lasts forever. Give thanks to the God of all gods. Give thanks to the Lord of all lords. Give thanks to the only one who makes great wonders. Give thanks to the one who made the skies with skill. Give thanks to the one who shaped the earth on the water. Give thanks to the one who made the great lights, the sun to rule the day, the moon and the stars to rule the night. God is the one who provides food for all living things. Give thanks to the God of heaven. This morning, our scripture reading, Hebrews 1, 14. Something was missing in our scripture reading. It didn't sound right, did it? It didn't. But what if I left something out? Do you see what's between the 1 and the 4? Up here? What's missing? A little hyphen, a little dash. It changes everything, doesn't it? Now the text you were supposed to reread was Hebrews 1, 1 to 4. Not Hebrews 1, 14. Do you see what happens when we take Christ out? When we take Jesus out? When we surround him to just a little bit, just push him a little bit farther down. In the past, God spoke through the prophets to our ancestors in many times, in many ways. In these final days, though, he speaks to us through a son. God made his son the heir of everything and created the world through him. The son, with a capital S, is the light of God's glory and the imprint of God's being. He maintains everything with his powerful message. After he carried out the cleansing of the people from their sins, he sat down at the right hand of the highest majesty. And the Son became so much greater than the other messengers, such as angels, that he received a more important title than theirs. Luke 24, 44 and 45, I left off verse 45. Then he, Jesus, said to him, the disciples, this is at the very end of his ministry, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Why? And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the Scriptures. The Holy Scriptures are nothing but a piece of paper if they don't point to Jesus. That's what people are longing for. That's what young people are looking for. That's what a postmodern world is. They're looking for someone who cares for them. They're not worried about more information. They want to see lives that have been transformed. Other books were given for our information, but the Bible was given for our transformation. This year, let it transform your life. I want to close with an example of a group of individuals, a community, whose lives were transformed because of what's behind the glass. The English ship, the Bounty, commanded by Lieutenant William Bligh, journeyed to the South Pacific in 1787 to collect plants of the breadfruit tree. Sailors signed on gladly, considering the voyage a trip to paradise. Having no one in command, second in command, Captain Bligh appointed his young friend, Fletcher Christian, to the post. The Bounty stayed in Tahiti 6 months, and the sailors, led by the happy-go-lucky Fletcher Christian, enjoyed paradise to the full. When time came for departure, some of the men wanted to stay behind with their island girls. Three men trying desert were flogged. The mood on the ship darkened, and on April 28, 1789, Fletcher Christian staged the most famous mutiny in history. Bligh and his supporters were set adrift in an overloaded lifeboat and navigated the 3,700 miles back to Fiji, to Timor. The mutineers aboard the Bounty immediately began quarreling amongst what they were going to do next. Christian returned to Tahiti and he left some of the mutineers. He kidnapped some women, took some slaves, and traveled with the remaining crew 1,000 miles away to an uninhabited island, Pitcairn Island. Then the little group quickly unraveled. They distilled whiskey from a native plant. Drunkenness and fighting marked their colony. Disease and murder eventually took the lives of all the men except for one, Alexander Smith, who found himself the only man on the island surrounded by an assortment of women and children. Then an amazing change occurred. Smith found Bounty's neglected Bible. As he read it, he took its message to heart, then began instructing the little community. He taught the colonists the Scriptures and helped them to obey its instructions. The message of Christ so transformed their lives that 20 years later in 1808, when the ship Topaz landed on the island, it found a happy society of Christians living in prosperity and peace, free from crime, disease, murder, and mutiny. You see, Pitcairn had been transformed. Do you have room for one more gift? We are so blessed today in technology. We don't have to worry about one love letter, just one. We have a variety of love letters given to us in Scripture, different translations, different love letters that affect you differently than they affect you. The question isn't, again, what the paper is. The focus is on who wrote the love letter. So this year, let me illustrate it by saying it this way. My wife loves now to go to Trader Joe's in Redlands. She used to have to drive 85 miles one way to go to Trader Joe's. Now Trader Joe's is so close. On my phone, I typed in our location and Trader Joe's. You know that it takes 3 hours and 9 minutes to get to Trader Joe's? It's 10 miles. Or it can take 4 hours and 3 minutes if I go through by Live Oak Canyon Road if I'm walking. If I'm bicycling, it only takes me 46 minutes to bicycle to Trader Joe's. But if I take a car, I can get there in 18 minutes. Same destination, but different methods to get there. This year, whatever route you choose, read God's love notes to you. Read it in a different way. Read it not for information. Read it to see how much God loves you. My Bible on my phone has different apps, and at the beginning of the year, it's been flooding me with 15 different apps on how to read the Bible. Reading it with friends, reading it in order. The question, of course, is not which way I choose to read the Bible, but whether I read it, whether I do it. So I encourage you this year, read the Bible anew, with fresh eyes. Look for God's love through it. In the back, I gave some gifts to some of you. Some of you may choose to read the Bible through chronologically, the way that it was written. That's a new way versus Genesis through Revelation. You may read the Bible differently by taking a section and reading this genre on Monday, this genre on Tuesday, this one on Wednesday. It really doesn't matter how you do it, but rather, as Nike has so prominently made the focus of their, just do it. Do it. You know, my love notes are special to me because they came from someone who is special to me. Go find your own love notes. I know that you will be blessed because God has promised He loves you.
Amen.
Wonderful words of life. One of my cans holds popcorn. Several of them do. This can holds popcorn that costs $127. That's not shipping. That's the price that they sell that popcorn for. God's word, God's love note is crying out to you, read me this year. Let's pray. wonderful words of life. God, as we have read them in the past, we acknowledge that for many times we read them for information. For many times we use them as a sword, forgetting about the love note. This year, may it be different. May the information cause transformation in our lives, so much so that the gospel call, as it goes to the outside, others will be able to see us who have been transformed and say, I want some of that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.